Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Angie's List, providing reviews of local roofers, painters, landscapers, and plumbers to keep the consumer informed. More at angieslist.com. And
the Candida Fund,
supporting the National Parks Conservation Association, working to ensure that America's national parks are well-funded and well-managed. And
Sit for Life and Herman Miller,
featuring the Aeron chair, including the true black color. Sit for Less is now sitforlife.com. In honor of Mother's Day, we have a special program for you.
Unfortunately, our own Mother Elizabeth is no longer with us, but I have no doubt that she's still giving everybody in heaven indigestion with that pasta sauce of hers. Man, that was murder.
In any case, while she was here, we managed to hoodwink her into joining us here in the studio a couple of times.
I mean, she spent most of each show trying to deny any responsibility for the way we turned out. I mean, she kept trying to blame it on my poor father.
I know. That was awful.
That was cool.
Anyway, as sort of a tribute to our late mother, we're featuring some of her appearances on Car Talk.
And to all of you mothers out there, happy Mother's Day.
Welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with my boys, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Hello, boys.
Boy, you're getting professional at this.
Hi, Mother.
That, if you haven't recognized her wonderful voice so far, is my mother. Not his mother. My mother, Elizabeth. What's your middle name?
Maria.
Jones.
Maria?
Maria.
I never knew that. She changes it all the time.
Elizabeth, my father is in the studio. He says you never heard it either.
She's full of surprises, isn't she?
She just made it up. That's where you got it from. She makes up everything.
Don't let me laugh.
My mother is here to help us all celebrate Mother's Day. So here we are, ready to accept calls for us about cars or about relationships or calls to my mother and my brother's mother. That's four people in the studio.
Yes.
For any questions you may have about mothering or whatever. I don't know what it
could
be.
Right, and her field of expertise is how to avoid the mistakes that you might make in mothering, because God knows she made them all.
Well, Doug said we may get some calls about he was prepping my mother in the green room. Was
yes.
It green?
What green room?
And he said, while we were eating our bagels, and he said, we may get some calls about people asking about mothering. And she said, why would they ask me? I failed.
Nevertheless, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sandy, and I'm calling from Prescott, Arizona.
Sandy?
How are you?
Hi, Sandy.
I am fine. How about yourself?
Oh,
great.
For why?
Are you German?
No, I'm not. Why?
I'm trying to figure out where you're from.
As a matter of fact, I was born and raised in Tecate, where they brew the beer.
Oh,
yes.
No kidding.
And as of last week, I am a U.S. citizen now.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, you have just a little hint of something.
You came here when you were six.
Oh, born
no,
here.
No, actually, I came here 13 years ago when I got married.
Wow, and you learned to speak this language so beautifully, and
well,
my brother's
you.
Been here for 59 years, and he hasn't figured it out yet. Okay, I'm sorry, back to your
that's
problem.
That's okay. Happy Mother's Day, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay.
Are you a mother?
Yes, I have two children. I have a boy who's 8 and a little girl who's 10.
Oh, you have a long way to go, sweetheart.
Oh.
Jesus, it sounds like it's some kind of a prison sentence. I mean, where's the joyousness? You have a long way to go, sweetheart. Maybe if you're lucky, they'll run away and join the circus. Come on, Lizzie. Bright, lighten up. Was it that bad?
Well, as a matter of fact, I work at their school, so I'm with them literally 24 hours a day.
Oh,
that's worse.
I have long days. That's
yeah, well, my mother won't admit it, but she fortunately had her mother. living with us until I was, when did Grandma pass on? When I was about 9.
Yeah.
So she really did all the heavy lifting. Yeah. Grandma did. Yeah.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, she did. And, yeah. And Mom used to, you know, used to go to the flower show. She used to go shopping.
Well, she wasn't full of the sauce.
Well, that was the reason her mother hung around.
Oh.
Or in the slammer,
and
right?
In the slammer. What's wrong with these? Where have I failed?
Well, my father did admit the other day that my mother actually proposed to him.
No, that isn't true.
And that he would accept only under one condition, that her mother could come and live with them for 25 years.
Yeah.
He said, if your mother can't live with us for at least 25 years, then forget it. I have no interest in you whatsoever. And she finally acquiesced.
You talk about the patience of a saint. I mean, think about it. If your mother-in-law came to live with you for 25 years... Not that there's anything wrong with my mother-in-law. I don't want to get myself in hot water.
You already have. It's too late.
But it isn't something you wake up every day and say, boy, I wish my mother-in-law would come and live with me.
All right, anyway, what's on your mind, Sandy?
Okay, well, I tell you, I have a 1995 Mitsubishi Montero LS.
Do you?
Yeah.
And if my car was an actor, my car would be portraying the role of Felix Unger on the Odd Couple having a sinus attack.
Oh, it's a nying, nying, nying.
Yeah, it's like, oh. Every time I accelerate, I have this obnoxious noise. And since my children are in control of the radio, I do not know what is worse, the rock and roll volume or the sound that I have in the car.
And the noise sounds like when you, it always happens at a specific RPM, I bet.
You know what? I never noticed
or a
that.
Range.
It's just, for example, if I take my foot off the accelerator and I go to accelerate again, it does this noise all over again. And I took it to the dealership, and what they told me was that noise was normal.
Well, here's the first thing I would do. I would ask them if you can drive another one.
I did. And it did not do that noise.
Yeah. So he's wrong
about
it being
normal. So you should ask them,
then,
what's wrong with this other one? They forgot to put the noise in at the factory.
Or it's normal for every other one.
Right.
No, it is not normal. It does not make a big noise like that when you rev it up. It should not.
And it should be fairly easy for them to figure this out. They're just not very interested in it, and I don't know why.
I would definitely take it back to the dealer, have them drive it, and if they say it's normal, insist that it is not normal because you've driven others and you have other witnesses, me, who say that it does not make any such noise, so it is not normal, and you want them to find out what it is and fix it, and that's it. Tell them, look, I'm a citizen of these here United States, and I want it done, and I want it done now!
Or I'll write to my congressman.
That's right.
Now, my mother probably has some words of wisdom about what to do with the kids with the rock and roll music.
You know what? I have a question for your mom.
Sure.
Have you ever found the magic formula for the kid to answer your children when they go, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
I would say, shut up and listen.
No, because she was always the one that was asking my father, are we there yet? I can't stand being in the same car with the kids. Are we there yet?
Either that or my grandmother was asking my father, are we there yet?
Okay.
We always went out with Grandma.
I still have to find a car that I can sit my two children, and they don't quite reach each other, and they know how it is with smaller children.
Yeah. You have to draw the imaginary line across the seat. Don't cross over this line. Oh, it's murder.
Right. You have to get very creative.
Yeah. See, now, my mother actually doesn't have experience with any of that because most of the time that we were kids, my brother wasn't around. It was my sister and I who were around because we were closer in age, and we were just about as perfect a pair of siblings
as
you could ever imagine.
I cannot
remember a single argument that I ever had with my baby sister.
Because you always had her tied up and she couldn't talk.
Nor did we ever make any trouble in my memory.
What memory?
All right, Elizabeth, for all of National Public Radio audience to hear, for all of our audience to
which
hear.
Which one of us do
of
you
the
like
three,
best?
who was the truly the joy? Who was the most wonderful child ever? Who was of the three the least trouble and the most wonderful child to raise?
I have to ask a question.
Yeah.
Which one of your children is your favorite?
Oh.
Oh, I didn't say favorite.
Oh, very good.
I didn't say favorite. I said least troublesome.
Touché, boys.
Well, we certainly opened the can of worms. We'll press her on this issue as time goes on. Sandy, good luck with your noise, and don't take whatever the dealer tells you, because there's something wrong.
No, I'll tell him that I got the advice from the experts. Thanks an awful lot. I really appreciate it. And have a happy Mother's Day. And
thanks,
bye.
Sandy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There is a certain camaraderie among mothers, isn't there? They all have that long-suffering sound to their voices.
Oh.
Yes.
It was, she says, happy birthday, and you said, oh, you too. Oh, jeez.
Well, you're not
happy
a mother.
Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, she said.
What did I say?
Happy birthday.
Oh, happy Mother's Day. I'm sorry. Things are happening to me here.
Well, they do understand one another, I guess.
They certainly
well,
do.
We're mothers. We understand everything.
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 Well, we'll see about that.
Do you understand?
By the way,
brother?
You sobered up wonderfully today.
Oh, about that sobering.
Oh, no, we'll talk about that later.
Wait, tell them what the priest said to you. My mother called me about 2 weeks ago, and she said, hey! I said, what? She said, you got me in trouble. I said, why? tell them what you said. She's in
well,
church.
Well, they got me in trouble. I walked into church, and our pastor says to me, he was a visiting priest, rather, and he said to me, I see you're out of
the slammer.
The slammer. I said, what slammer? He said, but the next time you go in, he says, just call me. I'll come in.
Next visits to the prison.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim from Cincinnati.
Hey, Jim.
Jim, how you doing?
Real good, real good.
What's up?
I have a question for you. My mom has never learned how to drive.
Okay.
Neither is
Neither
ours.
That's mine.
Although she's had a license for about 60 years. We'll discuss that later.
I drove you to
when?
A music class.
My mother used to drive me to my guitar lesson.
With Mr. Scribner, remember?
No, Ribner. Professor
no.
Ribner.
Ribner.
I remember the
Ribner.
Guy very
oh,
well,
yes,
Professor
that's right.
Ribner.
That's right.
Yeah.
He called himself Professor. I mean, I don't know. I remember that you did that. In fact, I remember the day you took that turn in Union Square and all the doors flew open.
Well, they were tied on with ropes.
I thought that was kind of cute.
Oh,
anyway,
no,
Jim,
holy.
What's your question?
Well, I have two questions for you, actually. One, she'd like to learn. My father recently passed away, and she doesn't have transportation. She's queen of public transportation in Chicago. She can get anywhere she needs to, really,
yeah.
In the city. But she has grandchildren here in Cincinnati, in Baltimore, all over.
Mm.
It'd be great if she could drive. I was wondering what kind of car should she buy, or we should buy her as her kids. And
I got it. A chauffeured limo.
How many kids are involved, and how old is your mother?
My mother's 60-something. I have two older brothers and a younger sister, two of whom live in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were wondering also who should teach her of us, or maybe our wives or husbands.
None of those.
None of those, no.
Not if you want to keep peace in the family.
Okay, so we should go to one of those driving schools.
Yes.
So you have two siblings that live in Chicago.
That's correct.
And so there's obviously no problem with her visiting them.
Right, that's right.
It's you and who, your brother?
Yeah, my oldest brother.
Your older brother who live out of town. You guys are the real problem.
Yeah, we're the problem.
Right, if it weren't for you, then she would have no need for a car.
that's right.
Okay.
How long a ride is that?
Well, to Cincinnati, it's about 5 hours. Baltimore, gosh, I don't know, from Chicago.
Oh,
and you expect your mother,
yeah.
As a novice driver, to get into some car and drive on the interstate with semis zipping by her on both sides at 80 miles an hour. You want to subject her to this so she can visit you?
Well,
I think it's perfectly okay. I was just asking.
Well, is your mother going to leave you a lot of money?
No, probably not.
Probably not.
No.
So there's no incentive to get her kicked off early.
No. We'd like a safe car for her.
Well, you're never going to believe this, but guess who happens to be on the other line right now?
I give up.
Jim's mother.
Oh, God, love you. You're right.
Who can't believe that you told the whole world how old I am, number one.
He said 60-something.
That's all right.
And number two, that I don't drive and that I can't get anywhere.
No. You know, our children think that we're in la-la land. We're not in la-la land. We're as bright as can be. We're brighter than they are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, all these years I've managed to get around.
You bet.
Sure.
Amazingly well.
and
well,
you're
thank
absolutely...
you for that.
They want to bump you off now. They want your money.
What is your name, Mrs. Jim?
My name is Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hi there.
I think you're absolutely right. That's what public transportation is
That's
for.
Right.
Airplanes, buses, trains, and all that stuff. I don't think there's... I'm strongly in favor of public transportation of all kinds.
And I also think that if the children really are concerned about my getting around, they can get me a chauffeur.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was my suggestion to Jim when he first called. What you should get is a chauffeured limo.
And if they want you to visit, they should pony up the money for the airline
That's
ticket.
Right. They forgot all the diapers that you washed and all the cooking you did. And
absolutely.
They're ungrateful.
Well, we know that.
Well, we don't have to go that far.
Tell you to turn the shape up.
Hey, Jim.
Yes.
You glad you called?
Oh, no.
Wait till I talk to you later.
Jim, I'm out of town.
Yeah, way out. Jim, don't forget to wish Mom a happy Mother's Day.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to your mother as well.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, and thanks for calling Diane and
happy
straightening
Mother's
him
Day.
Out.
Thank you.
And stay put, Diane. If they want to see you, they'll come to Chicago.
Oh, you have
I
a great mother.
So.
You tell your boys they have a great mother.
Well, I think I am, and
we know.
I think they know. That
keep it
I
up.
Am
keep it
also.
Up. Show them that you're not in La La Land.
I am definitely not there.
God love you.
Thanks for calling, Jim. Thanks, Diane.
Well, thank you. I enjoy your show.
Happy Thanks. Mother's Day, Diane.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, although you should be lavishing your mother with gifts, and I say gifts, you are instead listening to Car Talk on NPR with my boys Click and Clack, the Tappet brothers, known to me, their mother, as Tom and Ray Magliazzi. And then they won't be known to me if they don't lavish me with gifts. We'll have more of your calls coming right up, so don't touch that dial, because... if you do, the end of your lipstick will fall
Not
off.
Not lipstick. Dipstick.
Dipstick. That was a misprint.
And everybody's saying that there's nobody meaner than the little old lady from Pasadena. She's the terror.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from my brother's new blockbuster superhero movie, Rustman 3, from NPR, NPR member stations, and...
Lumber Liquidators.
Supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR.
Information at lumberliquidators.com.
And... the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. And
Esurance.
They've got this tool called the Coverage Counselor that provides car insurance options based on users' needs. Gee, all this time I've been using a magic 8-ball to make my car insurance decisions. Esurance, an Allstate company. And
the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, towing away your car and selling it to support your NPR station, with your permission, of course.
And even though Orb gallops away from his radio as fast as he can whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members and the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, with a reminder to drive safely on our roads and to check your tires every month. More information is available online at tiresafety.com.
In 1913, this piece of music, this one right here, caused a riot.
They screamed, there was blood.
All simply because of air pressing against your ear.
This week on Radiolab, we ask why. And try and figure out what is it exactly about music that can sometimes drive people mad.
Literally mad.
Sunday nights at 8 o'clock.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the joys of motherhood.
Right. This week, we're paying tribute to the late Elizabeth Magliozzi, our long-suffering mother, by reaching into the archives and listening to programs on which she appeared with us, which she did a couple of times.
Yeah, she wasn't a quick learner, our mother, was she?
No.
278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Leslie from Northampton.
Hi, Leslie.
How are you?
We're well. How are you?
That would be Massachusetts, right?
That Northampton, Massachusetts, yes.
Yeah. I've been there once, I think.
I've been there. It's a very pretty little town.
It's beautiful.
Isn't it?
The Pioneer Valley, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an English teacher at a vocational high school in Northampton, and we have over a dozen shops, including automotive and auto body. And the way the school system works here is that the students spend 1 week in their shop with their hands-on training, and 1 week in academics, where they take English, math, science, and history.
Yeah.
Gym. And they complain, a lot of the students complain that that week of academics, that alternating week, is even too much for them, and why do we need to learn literature and composition if we're going to be mechanics? And
I... Should I have my brother just recite a poem or two?
Do I have to do the daffodil poem again?
Hold on, please.
It's the only one I know. Yeah.
If you could quote Shakespeare, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, and this inverted bowl. Oh, that's not Shakespeare.
Well, I have an answer that I give them. We have mixed classes, so I can't teach out of the electrician's manual and the plumber's manual and the culinary arts to all of them. So we all, each of us in the English department, teach our own to our own strengths, and we teach drama and literature and journalism, fiction, poetry, essay, research papers, and I say that any practice in reading and writing will help you, you know, reading manuals or the state code or recipes or leases when they go off into the real world, and that they're not just going to be tradesmen and women, but they're going to be members of society, and we tackle a lot of moral and ethical issues in our classes, too.
Wow. Ethical, huh?
But they're not buying that. So my question for your mom is, what kind of students were you in school? And a question for you is, how would you respond to their statements that mechanics don't need to know literature and composition?
Yeah. Okay, let's hit the first one first. I mean, what kind of students were we?
Good students.
We were good students.
We were good boys, weren't we, Mother?
Did you do your homework before you got to listen to the Victrola?
Oh, yes.
Come on, Leslie.
No, the crystal set.
Victrola wasn't invented yet.
No, we had rules in my family.
Yeah, what were they?
They were made by Mama.
Yeah.
You do your homework first. Then you can go out and play.
Then you milk the cows.
Then you can go out and play.
Well, we milk our cows during the school day. That's what we do on the farm. We have a farm here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, and Mother is right. I mean, we were good students because she laid down the law. You do your homework.
I have to say, she did crack the whip. then you get a crust of bread. No, she did crack the whip, and I have to say that she would not let us do anything until we did our homework.
They got to finish the homework.
She was from the old school.
And the toughest part was... That not going to the bathroom part. That was really rough, and you shouldn't have done that, Mother.
No. The reason was that I had made those rules. You would be too tired to do your homework later after you played.
Yes, yes.
So do it now.
Yes, but you couldn't let us go to the bathroom, though. And to answer to address the issue of the importance of drama. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I employ my dramatic background. I mean, how else?
With the customers.
Can you sell a pair of McPherson struts that somebody doesn't need without a little theatrical, a little histrionics behind it?
To buy or not to buy?
Exactly. To buy or not, right. So, you know, you do need in whatever endeavor you choose, you do need a well-rounded education, because there are many times that I use my knowledge of physics to block a customer that's trying to run out the door without paying, you know, to know where to position myself. Mm-hmm.
I think you should force them to listen to our show, because you can present all this other stuff to them in the form of an investment in their future.
Right.
First of all, to be serious for a minute, being a mechanic is no longer being a grease monkey, and it's getting worse every day, meaning more difficult. So that if you can't understand how to read, you're in big, big trouble trying to figure out how to fix a car.
Right.
Secondly, when they do become automobile mechanics, they will learn very quickly how hard a job, maybe physically demanding a job that it is.
Yes,
they will
it
then
is.
Be looking for ways to escape. And radio is one of the ways
yes,
to do that.
Yes, it is.
And if they are inarticulate.
These are future contributors to NPR, possibly.
They are future performers, employees of NPR.
And then...
Maybe they could take your show over.
Well, that's my point.
And when you buy something that you have to put together, how many pieces do you have left over?
I have usually most.
Oh, yeah. Those gas grills.
So they have to learn how to put things
together.
And I knew
my brother was no longer fit to fix cars anymore when he had 19 pieces left over from his gas grill assembly job. Anyway, Leslie, tell your students to hang in there. The more they know, the better off they'll be.
Even if it's literature.
Especially if it's literature.
Especially.
It will enrich their lives, and it'll provide them with a different job when they get sick of fixing cars.
Exactly. They don't want to turn out to be unidimensional slobs.
See you later.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. This is Susan Gross. I'm from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Susan.
Susan, are you a mother or do you have one?
I'm both. I have one, and I am a mother.
Great. What can we do for you?
Well, we have a 1981 Oldsmobile Delta 88 that has about 90,000 miles on it. And about a year ago, we put in a new exhaust system, a new compressor for the air conditioning system, a new radiator, and shortly after that happened, our younger son had the car for a weekend and drove the car with the two hot light on, and he burned out the engine.
Yeah.
We had a partially rebuilt engine put into the car. You know, it was from a junk car. Then we discovered that they had killed the transmission in towing it, so then we had a transmission from a junk car put into it. And we also found that we needed to put in new brake pads, which we put in. And all in all, we put in about $3,500 worth of...
Oh, the two stupid lights should have gone on, I think, at some point. But that's okay.
Oh, this is called the incrementalist syndrome.
Yeah, it's like Chinese water torture.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what it's felt like.
Yeah. It's, anything else? That it?
Well, yes. So here's the situation now. We began having trouble starting the car. It became very hard starting. There's a heavy smell of gas, and there's a slight ticking sound. We brought it into the Oldsmobile dealer.
It's the time bomb.
He says that the float bowl in the carburetor is leaking, and then the carburetor has to be overhaul.
Oh, that's big money.
And that the distributor cap and rotor button are burned, and that all in all it's $400 or $500 more. And then on top of all of that, it just failed inspection. And we were told that it has kingpin problems and needs a lot of front end work.
Kingpins? They don't even have kingpins. Huh?
What is a kingpin?
Well, you don't have kingpins, but that just goes to show you how bad your luck is.
you don't even have
any kingpins, and they have to be replaced.
Well, anyway, my question is, what do I do with this car? Is it worth it to keep putting... The reason we wanted to keep the car is that our older son is in college. Our younger son is going to be home for one more year before he goes off to college. And we kept thinking we didn't want to get a new car while the kids were still driving it a great deal, because it's been our experience, and I'd like to check with your mom on this, that every kid crashes a car before their crashes the family car before they're age 20. Now, my older son already crashed this car once, but my younger son hasn't.
All right, ask her.
Did we crash any cars?
We were thinking we try to keep this car until
until one of them racks it up.
That's right. The last one or the last one when what goes off to college, but I'm really beginning to wonder whether or not it's worth it to put any more money into this car, or whether we should just surrender and junk the car and
never surrender.
What?
Never surrender.
Never surrender.
Did we ever rack up a car, Mother?
I'm not talking.
I do remember, however, an older brother once.
I never racked up
a car.
No,
no. But having...
Oh,
Dad,
I did.
Dad's here. He can attest to this.
I racked up his 51 Dodge.
No, worse than that, you failed to put oil in it.
I did that?
Yeah, that's all right. Oh. I let one skeleton out of many.
I don't even remember
you coming home saying, Dad, the car's making this funny noise. Dok, 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 dok. I had 75 cents, and I filled up the tank with gas, but I didn't put any oil in because I ran out of money.
Yeah, well, you had a choice of going someplace or not.
Well, look, even though it is Mother's Day, and Mother said, don't give in, I think you should bail out.
Really?
Oh, no.
Don't listen to him.
Don't listen to him. He's a nut. My brother believes in junking everything. He has junked cars that belong to me that had at least another 2-3 weeks left in them.
Is this what this car has, 2 or 3 weeks?
No, I mean, you're gonna remember the sunk cost syndrome here, because, I mean, right now you have to put in a distributor cap. That's cake. I mean, that's nothing.
$20.
And a carburetor rebuild, which in this carburetor might cost a few bucks.
Uh-huh.
So the question is, even if it costs $500 to rebuild the carburetor, can you buy another car that is in as good shape as this one for $500?
Buy three of them.
Especially since you know your son's going to rack it up within 6 months anyway. So I say fix it.
Fix it.
Yeah, I have to agree. I've reconsidered.
Sure. He's reconsidered. He's seen the error of his ways.
They were twisting my arms. I have one on either side of me. But we fix it up for another $500. What the heck? If that doesn't work, call back and we'll give you some other sage advice next week.
All right.
Thanks for your call, Susan. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Bye bye.
In addition to appearing in the studio, our mother would occasionally call us at work, too.
Yeah, like either to remind us to pick up a dozen cannoli.
Or to complain about something.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello. Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Jeez, come on. Dougie, don't you screen these calls. I told you never to put her through again.
And for those of you that don't recognize this voice, it's the voice of our darling mother, Elizabeth.
Who wants you to live a little longer.
A little
Why?
Longer than what?
I don't know. To give me aggravation.
All right. I can tell you that I got my T-shirt on today. See?
All right.
My brother's got his. Yeah, he's got one on, too.
We're wearing our T-shirt.
Okay. What about the cigars?
We're not smoking any cigars. They won't let us smoke in the studio. We haven't smoked a cigar for 2 years now.
I don't believe you.
And what was
you.
The third thing?
Even my little elves aren't doing their job.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. She has our kids destroying our cigars.
You know, you don't have to take care of us anymore.
What do you mean I don't have to take care of you? You're doing
We're adults now. We're adults. We can handle it now.
We're responsible citizens.
Smoking cigars?
Well, yeah, what's
going
wrong with
without
that?
An undershirt?
Oh.
Catching cold.
Well, you're right about the undershirt thing.
You're giving me aggravation.
Well, I know, but we don't mean to. We love you dearly.
No, you don't. If you loved me, you wouldn't smoke those stinky cigars.
All right, forget about the cigars. We had a call that you probably didn't hear from a woman who, the problem was her relationship with her daughter. And I said that I thought the mother-daughter relationship was one of the most complex relationships in the world. And I have only a vague recollection of your relationship with my dear sister.
Oh, we get along fine.
Well, you do now.
We always did.
Oh, no, I don't remember
Come on, you threw her clothes out in the street. You call that getting along fine? My sister...
That was only
She's a wonderful person, my sister, but she had this habit.
She was a slob.
She was a slob. She would put on an outfit and say, no, I don't feel like wearing this. She would take it off and take the clothes, which my mother had spent hours washing and ironing, and she would throw them under her bed and take out a new outfit.
When she was in college.
So she would take, every morning, she'd have to try on 2 or 3 outfits. My mother one day is dusting, and she looks under the bed and finds all these
Her entire
clothes,
wardrobe.
Which she had spent hours washing and drying,
and ironing.
And starching.
At the river with the stones.
The river with the stones. And there they were all crumpled up under the bed. Well, Mom had what we should call a nervy.
A nutty.
Oh, she went nuts. Screamed and yelled at my sister, took all the clothes.
Crystal Seal wasn't home at this time.
Opened the window and threw them out onto the street.
No, she said, the lawn.
What backyard. Lawn? We didn't have any lawn?
Yes, we did.
All right, the bricks.
I was there. You call that getting along?
So you're washing our linen on the air? Washing our laundry on the air?
And even
the truth must be known. We're firm believers in telling the truth, the family secrets.
What about you, too?
We told everyone about your drinking problem and your incarceration and everything else. I mean, after all...
Go bother Dad for a while, will you?
He's fixing the window here.
Yeah. He is? All right.
Well, go bother
saying,
him.
Where am I?
Ask him if he likes those cigars we got for him.
Ask him if he's wearing his T-shirt.
No more cigars.
No more cigars. No.
Absolutely not. They're out.
You're going to hear from me until I die. All right. You get rid of those cigars.
Okay, already.
Okay.
Broken record. Can't take it anymore.
And screen these calls, will you please?
This should do it. And if you don't get rid of those cigars, I will keep calling you.
All right, with the cigars already. Bye.
I'll call you another time.
Oh, yeah, we know.
Yeah, sure. You better disguise your voice because you're not getting through it any longer.
I'm putting voice recognition on my phone.
Just be good boys.
Okay, we will.
Okay.
Get a light.
After that.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Anyone want to buy a box of cigars?
Bought a box of T-shirts.
I'm emotionally drained. I don't think I can go on. See what it does to me? It just wears you down.
It does. Oh.
She calls me on the phone, and I just sink deeper and deeper in my chair. By the time she's had her way with me, I'm done for.
Yeah. No, she will not give up. You talk about perseverance.
Oh, it's like a pebble in your shoe.
Oh, God.
I think I need a break.
I think I need one, too.
You got the cigars?
Oh, yeah.
See? She caught you.
You snitch.
We'll be back in a moment.
When I was young, I was the closest to her heart. We were like one person, but we've drifted far apart. Now when I need her most, she will not support me. And if I won't go quiet, then she'll have to report me. She wants me to act like some middle-aged man. I used to think she knew me, but she can't understand that it's hard to make a living doing watercolor and collage. Years old and I'm living in my man's garage. I'm 40 years old and I'm living in my man's garage. My hobbies are Godzilla movies, mountain biking, and triage. I've got to relax because I get so stressed from this incessant negative garage.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our new commercial spaceship, which we admit looks a lot like a 74 Mercury Comet with Mahjong tiles glued to the nose. From NPR, NPR member stations, and
Tire Rack, offering an online tool for finding tires based on vehicle, needs, budget, and brand at TireRack.com. And
the Poetry Foundation,
publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture.
PoetryFoundation.org.
And the Pew Charitable Trusts, exploring how changes to federal spending and taxes affect the states at pewtrust.org.
And even though Mother's Day celebrants everywhere mumble, "Thank God those two aren't mine," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Brian Goldman was always a perfect student. A
classmate of mine in high school once said that Brian Goldman would study for a blood test.
Now that he's a doctor, he teaches med students.
Many of them have that look in their eyes that they're pristine. They've never made a mistake, and they never will. Of course, until it happens.
Making Mistakes, that's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Saturday afternoon at 2, and again Sunday morning at 5.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and Mother's Day.
Mm.
And today we're featuring archival material of our sainted mother when she visited our show.
You know what I'm remembering?
That you left your cigar burning in the car, huh?
No. I'm remembering one of the great awkward moments of all time. Our mother was in the studio, and a caller said to her, "You must be very proud of your son."
I remember.
Chris has brought up an interesting question, which I think we should explore for a moment.
What's
he
that?
Said to you, he said, "You must be awfully proud."
Yes.
Now,
look at that look on her face.
And I remember, I was thinking of this on my way over here today. I remember back in the old days, when I was like an engineer, remember those days?
I remember.
I was working for Sylvania Semiconductor Division.
I remember.
I mean, we were on the forefront of semiconductor technology. And when people asked my mother, "What does your son do?" She used to say, "What did you remember, don't you?" Go ahead. She used to say.
Because you can do it, Mom. What did you used to tell folks about Tommy?
He sells.
No, he makes.
He makes flash bulbs.
There I was on the forefront of technology. And she told people, I think it was even light bulbs. He makes light bulbs.
Well, to her, that was important. I mean, where would we be without light bulbs?
No, I think she was belittling the job that I had. What does he do? He doesn't do anything. He just makes a stupid, insignificant little thing.
It was very likely that she had some insight into the future.
Maybe
at that point.
She may have.
That she knew light that you were bulbs. Destined to do nothing.
I'm just wondering, when people say to you now, what do your sons do? What do you tell them?
I don't
you
know.
Beam with pride? Do you say nothing?
They tell me they work, but I don't know where they work.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Carol Berman. I'm Doug's mother.
Oh, boy.
Have we got some questions for you, Mrs. Berman?
I'm not as funny as Mrs. Malyatsi, but then Doug's not as funny as Tom and Ray either.
Oh, you should see him when he's here.
I'd like to get something straight, though.
Yes.
Doug moved out, said he had a job producing Car Talk.
Yeah.
We thought he was working.
Yes.
But then you say he never shows up.
He's never here.
He's not there. Where is
he? We thought he was with you, Mrs. Berman.
Do I have to worry about him moving back?
Oh, no, you'll never get him back.
Well,
no.
let me ask your mother a question.
Go ahead.
How do you make sure they stay out once they're out?
Don't do their laundry.
No,
make sure
actually,
they take the laundry back home with them.
Mrs. Berman, her real trick is, and she can teach you this, her real trick is you have to learn to cook like she cooks.
We couldn't wait to get out.
Because if Doug comes home and you serve him one of my mother's great meals, he'll never come back again.
Uh-huh.
Don't believe them.
So we want to know about Doug. Give us some insight into his personality. We never see him, so it might be helpful.
What does he look like, actually?
Well, I haven't seen him for about 10 years either.
Is he tall, short, dark-complected, blonde? Who is he?
Let me tell you, he's a fine son. Tell you that.
You've met him?
Yes, I've met him.
You have?
Yes, and I think highly of him.
You do?
I
How much did he pay
do.
You?
Well, we'll talk about it later.
That's very nice of you. And when he asks for money, shall I send him to you also?
Sure.
Send him right over.
Okay.
He doesn't need any money. He lives here at the station.
But we never see him. He doesn't work, actually, when we're here.
He leaves when we show up.
By the way, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you
Day.
Very much.
Happy
By
Mother's
way,
Day.
Yes.
If you happen to see Doug, would you ask him to call home occasionally?
Sure.
Call home occasionally. Doug, call home occasionally.
Does he have your number?
I don't know. We moved. We don't want him to move back in.
You moved when he wasn't around. Great.
Moved to a studio condo.
Send him cards.
I'm glad he's being so well taken care of there. Thanks, guys.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Trish from Buell, Idaho.
B-U-L-E?
B-U-H-L.
Of course, I should have known that. Buell,
hi,
Idaho.
Hi, darling.
Well, I have a call that's kind of both mother and car related.
Yes?
I'm kind of concerned about my mom. For as long as I can remember, up until, say, the past couple of years, my mom has always been a very neurotic driver. You know, she'd scoot her seat all the way up, and she'd drive with her chest pressed against the steering wheel and her nose peering out over the top, and she drove very slowly, never passed. She'd signal 500 yards before the turn, you know, that kind of stuff. And if, by some miracle, she'd let somebody else drive, you know, she'd be saying, watch out, slow down, you can't pass here, things like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, over the past couple of years, she's made this transformation. And now she drives very fast. She passes on blind curves. She tailgates. She even leans back in her seat.
Really?
And I kind of wanted to know, you know, what, I thought maybe your mom might have some insight into this too, you know. What is my mom going through here? And
she's
and I
smoking
wonder,
dope.
What's that?
She's smoking dope. It happened to our mother too. She started hitting the dope, the sauce, all that stuff. Loosened her up.
You think that's it? Well, she quit smoking cigarettes.
Well, but she's smoking something. You look around. I bet she's got a lighter in her purse.
How old is she? How old was she when this transformation took place?
Oh, you know, I can't say that over the phone.
Well,
give us a decade.
Give it to us in scientific notation.
All right, never mind. Tell us how old you are.
Well, I'm 31.
I got it. Oh, so your mother isn't that old.
Well, no.
Is she under 60?
Yes.
No.
Oh, so she's 62. All right. Fine. Interesting.
But anyway,
wow.
I'm kind of concerned, you know, if she's like this now, what is she going to be at 90, you know? And I want to know, you think this is an improvement, maybe?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Why?
Or should I never get in the car with her again?
So you feel that she has somehow liberated herself from the shackles,
from the worries. You know, she was always worried. Is she driving the car? Is she going to hurt the children? Is she going to hurt herself?
Oh, so now she's
now
responsible.
She's free.
She's only responsible for herself now, so she can be a wacko that has been hidden in her.
But even when I'm in the car, you mean?
Well, she figures you're old enough. She's cared for you all these years, and you're on your own now.
She was a wacko trapped in a mother's body.
I think she could have been.
It could happen.
I mean, if you asked her about this, what she attribute this?
If I tell her she's making me nervous, she just laughs at me.
But is she in La La Land or is she okay?
No, she's not in La La Land.
Does she laugh at everything?
Seriously, she has made this transformation. I mean, it's not just me that notices this. It's, you know, every member of our family.
I don't know. But, I mean, I would have to say that I would love to hear from a psychologist out there or two who could maybe shed some light on what has happened to your mother.
I don't think anything terrible has happened. I happen to agree with my mother. It's the first time in about 40 years I have. Did I say 4 or 40?
40.
But I think your mother feels liberated, and frankly, I would like to talk to her about this, if there's some way we can get her on the phone sometime.
Would she mind if we called her?
I mean, does she know you're concerned about her?
No, I don't think she knows.
Wait, can she take a joke?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think she'll have any idea who you
are.
Who
we are. That's okay.
That's even better.
Hang on, and we'll take her number off the air, and we'll try to reach her if she's home.
Okay.
She's probably out blasting around on the highways, but if she's home, we'll talk to her.
Yeah, she's probably knocking down those caution signs, men at work signs.
Okay. Hang on, Trish.
Okay.
Give us the number. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's your mother's name?
Polly.
Polly.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to try to reach her. We'll hang on with you.
Okay.
Now, don't go away. We'll do a three-way here.
I hadn't expected this.
No, you didn't.
Neither did we.
On this program, you expect anything.
When you least expect it.
When
you
least
it.
That's
right.
Well, we're ringing.
Hello, Polly?
Polly? You know Trish.
Oh, all right.
Here's the story, Polly.
Okay.
Trish called. We do a radio show about cars.
And
since it's Mother's Day, we got our mother here with us in the studio also. So your daughter, Trish, called us and said that over the last couple of years, your driving behavior... Don't laugh. She said your driving has changed somewhat dramatically.
She said that you used to be one of these slowpoke drivers who drove with her nose against the windshield, with the seat all the way forward, and now you're leaned back, you've got one arm out the window, you got the other
smoking
arm,
cigars,
the other arm on the armrest, you're zooming around turns, knocking wheel covers off all the time, and she wants to know, she's concerned about you, and she wants to know what has happened in your life that has so liberated you that you feel that you can drive in this manner, and she's scared to death to ride with you.
See, my mother is here, Elizabeth, and her theory is that you feel free.
And I have bonded with my car.
Oh, you bonded with your car.
Bonded, B-O-N-D-E.
Oh, bonded with your car.
What is your car, Polly?
Isuzu. Stylus. I couldn't even remember. Yeah, about, what, 92, Trish?
So you bonded with your car, huh?
Yes, I feel secure and safe, and we fit well together.
So how does this car differ from previous cars that you've driven?
Well, I'm short and just a little above average weight, and I can sit well in the seat. I sit up, and my feet hit the gas pedal and the brake.
Did you drive American cars before you got this Isuzu?
What did I drive before?
Yeah, I think you had a Colt, didn't you?
Oh, a Colt.
Well, that's... Oh.
A Colt is kind of a stodgy little vehicle. I think the Stylus maybe brought out the crazy
one. Well, I mean, the truth be known.
My hidden talents.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Gee, I didn't realize that the purchase of a car could make that much difference in a person. Is it your whole personality that's changed, or just your driving?
Absolutely.
Oh, everything's changed.
Oh, so you've just become a real swinger.
You betcha.
Oh. Very good. Well, I wish you the very best.
There's not a fella involved in any of this, is there, Polly?
Well, I do have a husband.
Oh, you still do have a husband. Okay, I was just checking.
Well, maybe.
Well, maybe you got a husband and a fella. Who knows?
Well, we want to wish you a happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you.
And thanks for being a good sport.
All right, thank you.
And thanks for calling, Trish.
Thank you.
And I think Mom's all right, Trish. Don't worry.
All right.
She's okay.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
She just
guys.
Found herself.
Bye-bye.
Bye, ladies.
Bye-bye. Bye, Polly.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, this is Linda in Wichita, Kansas.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, I have a question for you about a 87 Honda Accord, and I have a problem. You know, in Kansas, it tends to be kind of breezy.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we know.
Okay, well, around the door handles, on the driver's door and the passenger doors, when it's windy, I have wind that comes through the door handle area.
Yeah.
Okay, I've talked to the dealer, and the dealer says, well, they can't fix it without taking the whole door apart. They don't think it's that big a deal, but in the wintertime, it's really cold sitting on the driver's side if the wind's coming against you. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, let them fix it. So what if they have to take the door apart?
No, sure. They're going to take the door apart. They told you that because they were trying to talk you out of it. What they're really trying to tell you is they can't fix it. It's unfixable because the door is a large cavity, and cold air comes in. And because it's got to go someplace, it comes in through the first crack it can come through, and that is the opening where the door handle is.
Sure, but if you take the door apart, they might be able to, for example, caulk it, putty it up from the inside, and prevent that from happening.
Right, they could do that.
And in the worst case, you can fill up the door with marbles or something. Right? Fill up the door with insulation.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great when it rains. It's so cold. The truth is, see, the door cavity has to remain empty.
Right.
So the best you can do is to caulk where the trim goes on the inside of the door.
Yeah.
So that the cold air does not infiltrate. You have any questions for Mom while you're on the line here?
Are you a mother, Linda?
Sure. Is she there?
She's here.
I'm
well,
here.
We have to revive her, but she's here.
Yeah. Give her some black coffee. She drinks a lot, you know?
Well, I'd like to know from her which of you she likes best.
Yeah, I want to know that, too. I've been asking her that all day.
Here's that $20 I promised you.
They've been asking me.
Come on, the
truth
is...
For the last...
She's been always referred to me as her love child. And when my brother isn't around, she confides to me that she does love me more, but I shouldn't tell anybody else.
That isn't true.
On the other hand, when my brother isn't around, she tells me I have to tell him I love him more because he was first. But the truth is, you're the smarter one, and I really love you more. So, and I've accepted that, and I've kept the secret all these years, but now I must tell the truth. Am I right?
After looking at all your children, I don't know if you have children.
Yeah, Linda's got children.
You have children, Linda?
No.
No, Linda doesn't have children.
Fortunately.
Yeah, Linda's lucky.
Did you really say fortunately?
She did.
I did.
She did, sure.
Well, you know, in this day and age, that's a good answer. With all the drugs.
I'm glad to see she has a sense of humor like you do.
I think we just lost Thomas. Linda, get up to putty up those doors. You'll be all right. Don't have kids. Thanks for your call, Linda.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. You all right?
Look at my papers.
He wants you to read this.
will you quiet down now?
Okay, I'm sorry.
We have to say bye-bye now. Well, you've been listening to NPR's Car Talk.
The part of our mother this week was played by Barbara Bush.
Don't say that.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, Not a Slave to Fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman.
A lot of names.
Indeed. Our associate producers are Louis Milk Carton Cronin and David Gibraltar Green. Mm. Our engineer is Tad Masamankari. Our senior web lackey is Douglas F. Mayer. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, currently getting inoculated for the Upper Ganges Booze Schmooze and Vindaloo's crew, is John Bossy-Lawler. Thanks for being here, Mother. Happy Mother's Day to all.
What,
you
no
mothers.
Flowers? No trip to Miami?
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1319, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com, where this week you can learn all about hybrids.
It's our everything you always wanted to know about hybrids, but were afraid to ask section.
Including naughty pictures.
That's the new hybrid explainer all this week at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Lumber Liquidators,
offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained,
at 1-800-HARDWOOD.
And the Scan Foundation, committed to aging with dignity and independence, at thescanfoundation.org. And
Esurance,
insurance for the modern world. They were born online and offer tools for drivers to make decisions about their car insurance.
I have my own tool.
Yeah, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Exactly.
Esurance, an Allstate company.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though text messages select NPR and then type E-N-U-F whenever we say it, this is NPR.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.